Part 18, Chapter 5. In the mid-morning twilight of the forest, they caught up with the other flatbed. It was the small beginning of the string of mishaps that were to dog them that day. Running in the dark, the other flatbed had come to a river, one of the many that wandered through this forest on a more or less westerly course. Their own direction of travel had been to the east of south. The driver, possibly overly tired, had not slacked speed. These ground drives could run on water, if it were reasonably smooth, as the sensors under them could sense water as well as ground. A teleportation drive didn't rest the weight of a vehicle on the surface, but held it suspended. But the driver must have hit a bump on the bank and had an unlevel vehicle when he reached the water. And there it sat, nose submerged in the water, disabled. The crew was sitting there now on the flying mine platform, back in under the trees. They had flown it and the mortar off and put themselves in a posture of defense. They were very happy to see Johnny. Crocodiles were all over the riverbank in front of them, and a ring of the beasts were circling around the flying platform. Nobody had dared shoot for fear of pulling the convoy back on them. Johnny made room for the second platform on his own flatbed, and they flew theirs the short distance. The roar of the motors and the bellow and roar of the crocs were deafening, and Johnny was afraid they might be close enough to the convoy tail to attract attention. They left the half-submerged flatbed where it lay, and double-loaded with two platforms and two mortars, they crossed the river and continued their pursuit. Shortly after, the road got better, due possibly to a change of soil. They picked up speed. They had had about a 12 to 15 hour travel gap between the tail and themselves, but a convoy tends to be slower than a single vehicle, particularly in such rough terrain. They were traveling so fast by early afternoon that they did not see that it was getting lighter ahead. Abruptly, they burst out of the forest and onto a wide savanna. 3 miles ahead, there was the convoy tail. With a prayer they had not been seen, they did a U-turn and got back in the trees. Johnny directed them eastward within the thin border of the forest over very rough going. Then they stopped. The savanna before them was covered with grass and some shrub. Here and there, cactus-like plants dotted the wide expanse. Johnny got up in the cab to get a better look. Aha! The defile of the ambush was just ahead of the convoy. The lead tank was entering it now. That ravine seemed to be a cut through the southern shoulder of a range of mountains. Mountains! Up to the northeast, their crowns above the clouds reared two peaks, enormously tall peaks. Was that ice and snow? There was something else strange. Then Johnny had it. It wasn't raining. There was cloud. It was very hot and humid. There was not much sun, but it wasn't raining. The Russians were buzzing, looking at the convoy. It was impressive. Over 50 vehicles, most of them flatbeds, loaded to the last pound with ammunition, fuel, and breathe gas, were crawling along like some enormous black snake. Five tanks. The one in the lead was a Basher, Bash Our Way to Glory, a nearly impregnable armored vehicle. There was another tank in the middle and 3 tanks at the end. Now that their own motor was off, the roar of that convoy, even at this distance, was like thunder.